All right. Hello, everybody. Let's see, who do we got so far? Hey, Linda. Good to see you here. Erica, good to see you as well. Carrie, welcome. Cynthia, hello. Welcome. All right. So has summer arrived where everybody is? How is did somebody turn on the heat where you live? I know they certainly have over here. We're looking at 90s for the next 7 days. Not looking forward to that myself. Cool. Cynthia, cool as a cucumber in British Columbia. I'll trade you, please. Or maybe we can come, like, just agree to be somewhere in the middle. I think everybody would enjoy that. Ooh, yeah. I had heard Ontario was back to chilly. Yeah, Linda, right? Linda, you're getting probably the same thing we're getting, right? Like mid-90s for the next week. I just like, oh, God, please. I can't take it. Can't take it. All right, let's see. Who else? Oh, I thought I'd seen somebody else in here. All right, I know a few other folks are joining us here in a couple minutes. We're actually still not quite the top of the hour. Hey, and Doug is here. Hey, Doug. Good. I just saw your question. Thanks for the reminder. So we can definitely, we'll talk about that here in a sec when we get to once we get through winds. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and get started. I know a few more folks are going to be joining us, but let's get started with winds. So what I'd love to hear in the chat area is if you could type in a capital W and let us know about wind that you've had over the past couple of weeks. And just a reminder, wind doesn't have to be, you know, landing this new huge client. Okay. Of course, that's definitely a wind, but a wind can be anything big or small. It could be something like, hey, you know what, I just got a great idea after going through some training this week about how I can solve or start working toward this particular goal. Or I had somebody respond to a warm email. Or I feel like I'm really making progress in this particular area. I'm encouraged by something a client said. Anything like that, just let me know in the chat area. Type in a W next to it so I see what it is. And don't be afraid to share. This is a no judgment zone. This is a safe place to share all of our wins and our frustrations. So let's see. Carrie said, finally hired a virtual assistant. Congratulations, Carrie. That's excellent. Great to hear. Linda says, sent out 14 pitches in the past few days. May not sound like a lot, but I do research. You research each prospect a bit from that. Have a call today with a tech marketing agency in California. Hey, that does sound like hard work, actually. So congratulations. That's excellent. Love the effort. Doug says, great first call with a new client prospect. Very promising with a lot of business potential. Fantastic. And yeah, keep that in mind. We'll talk about that as when we discuss the whole retainer thing, Doug, okay? That should factor into your decision. Grace, hey, Grace, welcome. It's great to have you here. Finish a large project sooner than expected. That's always a win. Of course, Erica says, I implemented a model week calendar so I can get on top of my work on my business. Yeah, working on your business, right? Because it's that's not the default state. It's usually the leftovers. And if you don't put it in there ahead of time, it just won't get done. That's for sure. I spent my working on my business was yesterday afternoon. So I just felt great. But I had to schedule that ahead of time. Joe, hey, Joe, welcome. I finished rewriting my website copy. Congratulations. I saw your website review request. So I'll be taking a look at that this week and we'll put some feedback there. Cynthia says, I gingerly asked an old boss for a testimonial and he sent me something beautiful and much nicer than I expected or dared to expect. Oh, that's wonderful. Love it. Love it. Those feel great, don't they? Win number two for Linda, landed a case study project from a client where the original writer fell through. Oh, man, there you go. Linda to the rescue. Love it. Carrie says, are the model week calendars located within the resource library? Actually, it's part of the architecture week training. I can't remember if that was in your game plan, Carrie. If it's not, don't worry. I wouldn't skip around. You know, it's important not to get distracted and just go through your game plan, and then we can always get to that. So the game plan was very specific in terms of, you know, work on this first and this thing second. It was there for a reason. But yeah, don't worry. Well, we got plenty of time to work together, and you know, we can absolutely do that when the time comes. Ruthie says, when looks like I'll have a competent SEO editor for my writing team project by the end of the week. Hey, that's wonderful. And welcome, Ruthie. Good to see you here. Hannah. Hey, Hannah. Another call with long-term nurturing prospect last week. Looking good. Oh, man. Hannah is the queen of nurturing your not-yet-ready prospects. She's a testament that it works. A lot of people just avoid it because they're not sure where to start or it feels like work. Hannah definitely is consistent with it. And I love it. I love when those come back. Man, great stuff, guys. Great, great stuff. All right. So let's curious as to what everyone is working on right now. So in terms of your game plan, what is your main focus right now? What is your core project? In terms of our work together, just type in a capital P in the chat area and let me know what your main focus is right now in terms of our work together in your particular game plan. Yeah, I think, Ruthie, I think I did interview Hannah for the podcast a couple of years ago, and I believe we did touch on that on the lead nurturing thing. And, you know, I would listen to it anyway because it was a great interview. Hannah was very gracious, and it was wonderful. And, man, even Hannah, right, how things have changed since then. So it's but it was good. It's great stuff based on where she was at that moment in her business and the pivoting that she did. All right, so let's see. Joe is modifying, fine-tuning my marketing prospecting plan. Great. Doug says, lead magnet training going slow, but getting there. Okay. Erica is rewriting web content. I need an embarrassed emoji here. Yeah. You know, they don't have that one. I wish they did, but I'm sure you're fine. I'm sure you're fine, Erica. It's going to be great. Ruthie, sticking to my marketing plan, it takes work to be consistent, which I'm terrible at. I need to find someone to pay me for my marketing. Oh, man. Yeah. Or how about this? How about getting someone to help you, pay them to help you with some of the elements of your marketing that you're not crazy about or that somebody else could do. Grace is creating a new marketing prospecting plan. Okay, here you go. Way to get started, Grace. Good stuff. Cynthia, figuring out how I'm going to specialize, thinking about how I will differentiate myself and how do I change everything to reflect these changes. Okay, good stuff. Carrie, looking for my new web hosting company, start plan of work for a new site. All right. Oh, good, Ruthie. Yeah, perfect. There's a lot, you know, it's all about decoupling some of these tasks. Many times when you take them apart, you realize, you know what, I don't have to do all these things. But this particular task or function has multiple tasks, many of which I'm not great at. So, yeah. Linda. Yeah, Linda, you're like me. I'm one of these rare birds who actually loves the marketing piece, sometimes more than a client project. Hannah, still working with LinkedIn and Mailshake tasks and then raising fees module. Great. Yeah, it's all about the chase, right? I totally get that. Okay, good stuff, guys. So let's get to some conversations. Oh, and Carrie says also looking for a good CRM system. Okay, yeah, and ask around for sure, Carrie. Several folks in here who use a contact management system, and they can give you some suggestions. I know HubSpot is a popular one. Ruthie's using Agile CRM. So there's a few out there. Contactually is another one that some of my coaching clients use. So yeah, ask around and then sign up for some of the free trials. Give them a test run and see what you think. But there's so many out there that if you can at least narrow it down to a few that seem to be coming up, then Hannah says HubSpot, the free version, changed my life. There you go. So if you can narrow it down to three or four at least, then that makes it the short listing or the finding the final one easier. All right, so I'm here, guys, for any discussions, questions. If you want to talk through a situation, just a reminder, the way to have a conversation, just type in capital Q in the chat area. Give me an idea of what you'd like to talk about, and then let's have a conversation. All I ask is very straightforward stuff. Keep your question focused and specific. Because if it's, how do I get clients, that's too broad, right? So give me something specific about that. One question per person, I can come back to you. We always have time for two, three rounds. If applicable, if you've got a couple of options that you're considering for a specific situation, when we talk, let me know what those are. That way we don't have to cover a bunch of stuff that's not going to be relevant to you. So that's pretty much it. If you're somewhere where you can't talk, then let me know that as well, and then I will not try to unmute you. I'm going to start with a question that Doug pre-submitted. That was the only pre-submitted question, and then we'll go from there. So let me go to I'll give you guys a little bit of context. This is something that started in the Facebook group, but Doug has an existing retainer agreement with a client, and he's really interested in going into the points-based system, which is one of the models that I talk about and I teach in the retainer agreement training in the program. Again, if you're not there right now, stay focused on your game plan. I don't want to get anyone distracted. But he's having a hard time figuring out, okay, I have this existing agreement. How do I transition it over to a points-based model? So let's have a conversation, and let me bring you in, Doug. Rather than reading this, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background? Hey, Doug, you're on.
Hey Ed, great to hear from you, as always.
Yeah, likewise, likewise. So tell us a little bit about, how much is the current agreement, what you do for them, how long you've had this agreement with this client, that kind of thing.
This goes back, probably about 4 years now, and it's an hourly based agreement. Something that came
Okay.
about probably when I didn't have as much, background as I do now in terms of, having learned, what you've taught, along the way. And like I said, a 4 year agreement, and it's based on a certain, amount per month. It's $3,850 is the retainer
Okay.
agreement, and it's based on X number of hours per month. And it started out, it was around 40, about 40 hours a month. So not a whole lot, in terms of number of hours and commitment. If you factor it out to, like on a weekly basis, it comes out, to roughly around 10 hours a month. So gives you plenty of
Okay.
time, to do what you need to get done for them from the client standpoint, as well as, other client work too. So it's not like you're completely buried. But the trick is that, you've got to keep up, because if you put things off and you slack, you can get to the end of the week or the end of the month, and then you've maybe not put the amount of time in that you should have, and then you could be looking at 40 hours in the last week of the month. So try not,
So
try to
you
avoid that.
guarantee them that if they haven't used their 40 hours, if you're at 20 and it's the last week of the month, do you have to put in? I mean, how does that work? Or
Yeah,
they don't carry
I
over?
try to. No, there's no carryover. I try to, try to, max out those hours as much as I
Perfect. I mean,
can.
that's good. That's good news, because
So
yeah,
yeah.
the carryover thing is, yeah,
So,
can be
and that always comes with a pretty detailed kind of a a report, you know, at the end of the month. It goes with the invoice in terms of what was accomplished. And, you know, there's some carryover, not in terms of hours, but there's carryover on specific projects. Like if you didn't get everything done on a specific case study in any given month, you know, you can carry that work over to the following month and they don't have any problem with that. So there's project work carryover, but not necessarily time carryover.
Okay. But right now you're just, I mean, you're billing hours toward it internally. So you're using the 40 hours essentially.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And you said also some of this is actual, it includes actual deliverables. Some of it, you know, kind of gets into, like you said, consulting. There's the report you do, that kind of thing. And then they also depend on you for recommendations and so forth.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. All right. So first, what was your motivation for looking at a different model and specifically for looking at the points-based system?
Well, when you do the math, I guess from a financial standpoint, when you're looking at the math, you're not, you know, getting to that $100+ an hour rate. So, you know, I'd like to be able to either increase the amount that I'm earning from the client and be able to do it in such a way where it really doesn't matter, you know, how many hours I'm putting in per month. I'd really want to make that transparent. You know, whether I'm putting in 20 hours per month or, you know, 50 hours per month, you know, I'd really like to make it as transparent as possible, even going forward with future retainer clients, because I really don't want to, you know, convey how much, you know, get that out in the open in terms of how much I'm, you know, earning per hour.
So you want to be transparent about the number of hours that you're putting in?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to be transparent on the number of hours.
You want them focused on what you're delivering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the results, you know, the deliverable, you know, the quality, the content, that type of thing. But not really to be caught up in terms of, you know, how many hours, you know, per month is this taking me to accomplish the work.
Well, and it doesn't sound like this client is really obsessed over that. I mean, it's because you also said that they kind of count on you to make recommendations and to in terms of what they need. So it's not like, no, we need so many blog posts, you know, or we need, you know, so many of these brochures, right?
There is some, you know, there are some projects that they ask or request to have done, but then there's some recurring works too, you know, like the blog posts for different brands, because the company has three or four different brands. So there's some recurring things that happen on a monthly basis. But, you know, if there's not enough hours, you know, not enough work to fill the hours for that particular retainer, then I have to pretty much make recommendations in terms of, you know, what I think, you know, those hours could equate to. So it could be something that, you know, you may get started on a project one particular month, and then it could carry over to maybe a couple months, you know, depending on the length of the project.
Okay.
Like a white paper could take a couple months to complete. So the hours that I come up with for that particular project, they may account for a certain number of hours in 1 month, and then it carries over to month two and possibly to month three.
A couple of comments. One is when you have an existing retainer relationship like this, it's going to be challenging no matter what you do to shift it to something where you can get away from hours. Okay. So you first need to understand that, because this is not like, it's going to have to be the right client. If you got someone who's obsessed over, well, how long is it going to take you to do that? And I don't want to move to that system because I won't really get a really good accounting of how many hours you're putting in. When you start hearing that, and I'm not saying this client is like that, but that's the wrong client in terms of, you know, trying to shift them over. Mm-hmm. You could still try, and you probably should still try, but it's going to be just more difficult. So that's the first thing I would say. The second is the points-based retainer model works best when you got a client where they can't really tell you for the next 2 or 3 months what it's looking like in terms of work they need your help with. They know they're going to need quite a few things. Maybe they have a few things that are definite, but for the most part, they're kind of making it up as they go. So they're taking kind of an agile approach, you know, kind of the agile methodology where they just kind of do these sprints and then let's see what else they got. And then they identify those things and they work for 2 weeks on those things and crank them out. Okay. So, I mean, do they feel like they're a little bit more organized, or is it just every month just kind of a, you know, every month is completely different?
Yeah, there's some organization, but then like I said, you know, they kind of leave it up to me to figure out, you know, what they need or what we need to be focusing on. So
okay.
It's probably a mix of both.
All right. So then a little bit of background for everybody who's listening is going, oh my God, I have no idea what he's talking about. This is the what he's got here is the hourly. Okay, he's got an hourly arrangement. It's very straightforward. Okay. The points-based system, real quick. There's a lot to this, but I just want to give you guys a little bit of background, okay? It's a rather than, okay, well, these are the hours, or this is how much a menu of projects and how much you're going to charge them, you instead assign, they're buying X number of points a month, and then everything you can do for them is worth so many points. And if I remember, let me see if I do the math right, 5, 8, 13, 21. It's a Fibonacci series, so it's kind of an exponential growth thing. Notice there's not, you know, these are not in increments of 3, 5 or anything like that. It's growing exponentially, right? So,
Ed, does the client see those point values at some point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You should, okay. You should show them this. And then they should know, you know, how much is a blog post worth, you know, of a certain size, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So there's got to be transparency there. That's the first thing. The way I won't see this could get really complicated. And I got training on this, but, you want to you can still apply hours to it, okay? But this is all done internally. The whole idea behind this is they can, you know, they need X done. So let's just say they need a white paper. So if they need a white paper, then they'll know it's going to be 21 points, okay? Because you've told them that here. Okay, so this is the scale, and then you've assigned different types of projects to each of these numbers in the scale. All right, so if it's 21 points and they've bought, you know, 50 for the month, then they have 29 left, right? So one way, so that's the approach. What it does, guys, in case you're wondering, this keeps them. It allows them to be flexible. So for an organization that can't really predict ahead of time what they're going to need, this gives them a way to secure you, okay, and your time, because that's the whole thing with retainers. You don't want to sell discounts. You want to sell availability. You want to sell the fact that they're going to be first in line, and this makes it a lot easier. The other nice thing about this approach is the recommendation is that they buy points. And they got up to 60 days to use them. After 60 days, then, you know, any unused points go away. Okay. All right. So now, but in Doug's case, it's a little bit more complex. He's trying to retrofit this into an existing agreement, existing arrangement. So, I mean, you could still make this work. You got 3850. Okay. So, what if you went ahead and start by assigning different projects to or different points to different projects? And, you know, you could just do some basic calculation in terms of, let's just take a white paper since we put that out there. You know, how long does it take you roughly to write a white paper? I know it can vary, but.
I don't know, maybe 20 hours tops.
Okay. So internally, 20 hours. And what's an internal hourly rate that you're trying to shoot for? Not that you publish it, but what's, you know, what are you trying to go for?
Probably looking at 125 would be a good, okay. Good mark.
125. So 125 times 20 hours. So that's $2,500. Okay. So then you just got to figure out, you know, does that $2,500 divided by 21, you know, does that work? So if you did 21 points, $2,500, 21 points, 119 and change, if I did the math correctly. Okay, so that's not too far off, you know, from this. In fact, I mean, that could work. That actually worked out beautifully. The way in the training, Eduardo and Dave talk about this, and I actually agree with this, is you start with eight. Think of a project that's like your bread and butter with this client. And did you say it was blog posts? Is that kind of the biggest
thing? For that point range, probably case studies.
Case studies, okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of your baseline. So that becomes kind of your anchor. And so let's just take this over here. Okay. So eight times 125. I just want to make sure it's going to work out. So 8 points times 125 an hour, it's $1,000. You know, the question, this isn't all internal, okay, but the question is, does that work for you?
It's probably a little low.
A little low, okay.
Yeah.
So let's try 13. 13 times 125, 1625.
It's probably a little bit higher, but, you know, somewhere, you know, it's closer.
Okay. So 1625. All right. And by the way, you don't have to use this scale. Like, I feel free to modify it a little bit. So, because you don't have to explain that this is Fibonacci because, you know, I get to do all kinds of questions. What is that? Exactly. Like, it could be 1, 2, 3, 5. You know, 7, 9, that gives you a few more options in between. The reasoning behind it growing exponentially toward the end here is that these are for the unknowns, which is great for clients who are kind of all over the place. And then these are the clients who will also say, okay, we're doing this users conference, and then we're going to record these three sessions, and we need you to have them transcribed and then create this ebook and then this other thing based on that, like something that's completely out of the realm of your master fee schedule. The great thing about having these numbers grow exponentially is that you can just say, okay, that's going to be, you know, 34 points. You know, and that gives you all kinds of wiggle room, because once you get to this level of the curve, there's all kinds of buffer built into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, like maybe because it's between 1,000 and 1,600, you know, maybe what you do is you go from 5 to 7, you know, and then 7 times 125. Yeah, so 7 times 125, it's 875. So actually, but I'm sorry, between 8 and 13. So maybe it's like 10. You know, 1250, does that sound better?
Yeah, that would be better.
Okay. So then maybe the answer here is either you do 10 or you have 8 in 10. So 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 10, 13, 21, et cetera. And then this becomes your anchor. So then instead of 8 becoming your anchor, 10 is now your anchor. And then so the reasoning is everything that's maybe one more unit of effort to do, you charge the next number up in the point system, 13. Mm-hmm. Anything that's just slightly easier, you charge 8. Okay. So now really what you need to do is create your menu of things you do for them, right? All these things. And case study is in here. And we said that that's going to be, what do we say, 10 points? All right. So then this is going to be what, 8, 5, right, and 3, and so forth. Now, the next step after that is you got to then crank up some numbers and figure out, okay, so based on this, you know, what does $38.50 buy them a month in terms of points? 38.50. Let's just say you wanted to keep the 125. So it buys them, let's just say, 31 points. So 38.50 for 31 points. And you just got to now work backwards and ask yourself, can I make that work, and can they get what they need for 31 points a month?
Yeah, I guess that's one of the things I was struggling with, was how to figure out how many points, you know, would equate to that 38.50. Because if they're only budgeting 38.50, there's probably not a whole lot of wiggle room in terms of increased earnings, you know, mm-hmm. based on where I'm stuck right now. So,
well, I think there's two problems, right? One is, you know, how can I switch to this? The other one is, how can I increase the size of this project? And
yeah.
I mean, you may not be able to do that, both of those at once.
It could be an incremental increase, seeing it as a long-term, you know, retainer prospect or retainer client. There could be some incremental increases, maybe on a yearly basis. So,
how many case studies do you typically do for them in a given month?
It varies. Just on average, probably only two at this point, two or three.
Okay. So two would be fine, because they're still, that's 20 points, so they still got 11. Three is pretty much using up all their, you know, all the time. By the way, some of these should be, you know, consider using some of this as consulting time, the report, you know, like maybe the report you assign 2 points. You know, it's up to you.
Yeah, there's administrative time. I try to factor in too.
And so the administrative time is going to be a little difficult in terms of, okay, administrative time, I'm going to need 2 points, because that's not a deliverable.
Yeah.
But what you may do is just say, look, here's how it's – so move into this. Here's why it's going to be easier for you to pick. You got to buy X number of points, and that ends up being a little bit more than the 38.50, you know, which mm-hmm. pushes them, you know, out of that realm.
So with points, would you see a fluctuation on a monthly basis?
It could. No, because they're still buying the 38.50, which gives them X number of points. So they're still committing to that.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be. And then the points they can use up to 60 days. It's good for the client, because it gives them a little bit more wiggle room in terms of when they can use it. And I think you're doing that now. You said, like, if you haven't finished the white paper.
Yeah, that would carry over.
Yeah.
Okay. It's starting to make a little more sense, I think.
I think you got to do it on paper.
Yeah.
I would start by, you know, again, do this, the 10, make that your anchor, because we've already figured out that works to about 1250. And then start, next step is taking the projects that sit right below or right above that in terms of intensity. And then try to take different hypothetical scenarios and see, can they work for the 31 points?
Yeah,
if not, then you may have to say, look, I'm going to move to this, but it's going to require more like, you know, 35 points or 37 points or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So if I come up with a project or two on my own, then I would just communicate, you know, what that's going to entail out of the total number of points for that specific month.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe the way it works out, Doug, is that they don't have enough, so they have to, you know, make an extra purchase for, you know, 6 points or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is starting to gel, so I think I can work with it.
One thing that I've seen some people do is they'll take the more points you buy, the less they cost, which encourages, you know, higher point usage. So that's something else to consider.
Yeah. Okay.
People respond well to that. And again, Doug, just keep in mind that it's challenging, because when you're used to a certain model and you're trying to shift them to a different one, you know, change is painful. And they're not going to be able to figure this stuff out as easily as they did before, which for a lot of clients is tough.
Yeah,
I mean, in terms of what they're paying you per hour.
Yeah, that's the concern there. So, you know, I just wanted to see if this was convertible in some way, shape, or form. But I think it, you know, it's potentially, you know, it can work. But
well, the other thing to consider too is, you know, maybe you go with a straight non-hourly retainer. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we need? Let's look at a 3-month window. You know, what do you need done? If they're organized enough where they can tell you, then you may not need the point system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just say, okay, it's going to be, you know, based on that, it's going to be a little bit more than $38.50, guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can work on it and see what I can come up with.
All right. Let us know what you end up doing. I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah.
You bet. All right. Good stuff. Hopefully you guys picked up on some of that stuff. I know, again, if you haven't gone through that training, it could be a little confusing, but maybe it got you thinking about retainers. All right. Linda has a question here. How to know when or how much to spend on your business? I've been using LinkedIn, Rocket Reach, and Hunter, and I'm at the end of my trials. Great apps, but it would cost like $200 a month to keep them up. Is it worth it? Yeah, let's talk about that. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Awesome. Doing well. All right, so here's what I would say. I think LinkedIn Premium is pretty much a must. You know, it's and I know that the reason a lot of people hesitate is they don't have like a $25 a month thing, you know. So the cheapest is like $60 a month.
Yeah.
You know, so which level were you trying out?
Well, actually, I've done the trial a couple of times, and what I found was valuable about it, and this was the trial of the premium. I think the most basic of the premium. What I found was valuable about it is that you could see who looked at your profile, but what didn't really work out for me is that 90% of the people looking at my profile are other writers. So I wasn't sure if it was worth spending the money, but I've been using it. So now I'm on the free version again, and I'm using it so much that I've actually run out of searches and they're saying you need to upgrade if you want to continue people searching. But yeah, maybe I need to dig into more of what the benefits would be, because it doesn't seem, besides the seeing who saw your profile and getting unlimited searches, I don't really see what the benefits are otherwise. That's worth $60.
And you hit it right there. LinkedIn Premium, the biggest benefits are going to be the research, because you are going to reach a commercial limit very quickly with the free version, and also outreach.
You can
send connection request.
Yeah,
exactly. But not necessarily that. It's just that one leads to the other, right? So if you can do better research, you don't necessarily have to stick to just email. I like a combination of warm emails and then incorporating some LinkedIn in there as well. And it doesn't have to be through an in-mail, by the way. It could just be a connection request.
Right. And I do that. This is the first time I've ever bumped up against that limit, because now I'm at that point where I'm trying to find higher quality clients. I've got a lot of time. I've been doing a lot of prospecting. But in the past, I've never hit that limit. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so here's something to consider, because I think, you know, this is like the calm before the storm for you. If the fear is, you know, what if in 2 months I'm slammed, I'm booked solid? Well, you know what? You can always cancel it. Go back to free.
Yeah, I guess you can do month to month on there, right? You don't have to pay for the whole year.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on, because I've tried the different levels, and then one time I tried to downgrade, but it wouldn't let me downgrade, so I had to cancel it. But then I forgot to re-up for the lower, you know, tier.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, you know, just use it now, pay for the couple of months that you need. And if at that point you don't feel that, you know what, I really need this right now, then yeah, put it on hold or cancel. You can always come back.
Right. I mean, I would love to have all of these things, but I always feel uncomfortable investing more money during slow periods. And since, again, since I've really put all my effort into looking for better quality clients, I've been turning down some of the lower paying work. I don't have a whole lot coming in right now. So I always feel, I know that this will help get to that point, but at the same time, you feel this sort of, this is not a responsible move for me to be investing in these things right now.
Well, I think two things, and I know you've implemented the cash flow management system. As you, when your business stabilizes, that's going to feed your operating account to a point where when you do hit a little bit of a slowdown, let's just an off month, it's not going to be an issue. You'll have the buffers in place necessary to maintain that, right? So that's one thing.
There's actually a question that arises from that, if you don't mind, which is that the instant I started doing profit first is when things really slowed down. So I have not been able to fully implement it because I don't have anything coming in. Okay. And when I do have something coming in, it's, you know, it's household expenses. It's not the profit first. So.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate and that's okay. I don't think you've given up on it, right? You know that this is a temporary thing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I've always, it's always been feast or famine. And now because I'm working to kind of smooth that out, the famine part is, I think it would be a little bit longer because I'm doing so many changes in what in my processes and clients.
Yeah. If this is feast or famine, the way that most of us live and I ran my business like this for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. is I would just ride that same curve, which means, you know, when I had a lot in the bank, I would pay myself that full amount, you know, so I'd pay myself 12K here. But then I'd be at, $500. So I'd pay myself the $500. The end result is that my account was always, close to zero because I would drain it, whether it was 12K or $500.
Mm-hmm.
The idea here is you want to, you want to basically operate at this level. And in fact, you basically want to operate at this level.
Oh yeah. That looks better.
Right. Because this curve right here, is actually, you want it to actually go up.
Mm-hmm.
Trend up. So instead of, 12K when it's great, what you're doing is you're paying yourself, let's just say 8K. And then what happens is on these months, you have a surplus and that builds, right? And that's going to build. And then, in these months, you have a deficit, but that's why you have that surplus. So then you're not really concerning yourself. Now, of course, are you worried? Yeah, that's a natural thing. But And you don't want also, and I'm doing this visually, but you don't want those dips to be as drastic as you see them here.
Right.
So but the reason I brought this up is I think these tools are going to be, the decision is going to be a little bit easier once you get going again. Get book solid, able to fund these accounts to, like you will. And then the $60 a month you're spending on LinkedIn is just a non-issue. That's mm-hmm. part of your operating expense budget, Hunter, same thing. Now, Hunter, I think you can also do month to month. Isn't it like $25 a month?
No, different it's levels. More expensive when you do month to month. I want to say it was 40 to 50.
Okay.
Now it's you get 1,000 searches, which I completely do not need. 200 would be nice. So yeah, it's just hard to decide what tools to use, what to pay for. Feel like a real business after 20.
Well, look, if I get you, but I think if it's you need it now and you're able to go month to month, just spend the money.
Right.
Try not to get caught up in, but it's $15 a month if I do it month to month. Don't get caught up in that because the alternative is not that attractive, which means spend $400 now, and now I'm locked in for the whole year.
Right.
Okay. So I think I would say LinkedIn, Hunter, because of the emails, Rocket Reach. I mean, it's up to you. How much are you using it?
I just started using it the other day. I didn't get very many searches on the trial, but I was really impressed with it. And it does have some overlap with Hunter where it pulls email addresses off So when you find the contact you're looking for, you can click on their contact information and it normally brings up their business email address.
Okay.
But I haven't used it very long, so I don't know if I want to go all in.
Yeah. So maybe since it's not been very long, see what you can do with just LinkedIn and Hunter for now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the thing. You don't need to, honestly, like if you could land 3 or 4 really good clients over the next 60 days, I mean, that could keep you busy for the rest of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Lisa Stockwell, she's not on the call today. So she was in a very similar situation up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm.
I mean, she was like, oh my gosh, I am sitting here twirling my thumbs. And now she is like, it all came in at once.
Right.
So that's one thing I love about this business is, you know, we could be eating tuna helper today and tomorrow we're making reservations for a steakhouse dinner. You know,
right.
It's like it can change overnight. There's not too many businesses where that can happen. I mean, believe me, in corporate sales, 3 days before the quarter end, if you're, you know, at 80% of your numbers, it ain't going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very frustrating thing. So that's more frustrating than you know, this, because things can turn around quickly.
Right.
You know it. You know this is, you know, this is going to turn around. You're doing all the, because you're doing all the right things. But I think, you know, if you let go of these tools to save $60 a month, that would be, there's an 80-20 to everything. These are the 20% that make 80% of the difference. You can't look at everything as just a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. You know.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, I mean, I would love to hear other people's experiences with LinkedIn, because I'm still not convinced that it's worth it, because normally I can do as many searches as I want. I can connect with anybody I find. I don't know how the research would be enhanced under the premium version, except for that you get more searches.
Well, okay. So maybe I'm confused, but I mean, isn't that a reason just to keep it at least for another month or two?
I mean, I've never run, up until this month, I've never run into the limit on searches. I've never had a problem. So if it's just a matter of how many searches you get, you know.
But if you're done right now, you can't work right now. You can't work, you can't do the prospecting research right now.
Well, I've actually
found, I mean, that's like,
around, but it feels,
I mean, that's like,
you know,
that's like they cut off your power. I mean, if you can't, if you don't have power, you don't have internet, which means you can't work. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I found workarounds where I could just look up who is the CMO of this company and then be directed to their LinkedIn page, no issues. But again, you know, it doesn't feel super professional to do that.
Well, I mean, I'll leave it up to you, you know, but if it were me, look, again, with these, there's an 80-20 to all this. It's, you just got to look for the 20% of things that are going to make 80% of the difference. To me, if right now your full-time job is prospecting,
mm-hmm.
the tools that actually help me, I would be very discerning, of course, but I would not do an across the board cancellation and, you know, just try to make it work.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
But, you know, again, it's, I mean, the decision is up to you. And, you know, if anyone wants to chime in who's on LinkedIn Premium and the before and after from a prospecting standpoint, is it worth it? So, you know, that's just my opinion. I feel very strongly about it in case you couldn't tell, but, yeah, let Lisa know. I mean, I think again, and especially if you know that it's, look, this is for a month or two, you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think I just needed to feel like I had some sort of permission to spend this money when I'm not actually, you know, when I'm sitting here with no actual work.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're being smart, but it's, I mean, don't shoot yourself in the foot either, you know?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Erica has a question. She says, in April, I wrote a series of success stories for a new client, Client A. For this project, I interviewed someone who would be a good match for me as a client. They work in the palliative care field. Their organization is funded by the government, and they have a communications person. I'd like to reach out to this prospect to pitch my services, but I'm not sure whether I should approach Client A first, since she is the reason I'm in touch with the prospect. Thanks. Yeah, great question. I've had that happened to me before. Erica, hello, Erica.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good, good. So I'd love for others to comment on this in the chat area too, especially those, you know, journalists are very aware of this. It happens quite a bit, and, you know, so they got their own set of ethics. I've always felt that, you know, it's the right thing to do is to approach the client A. Mm-hmm. Say, listen, you know, this came up. This is why I'd love to approach them. I want your blessing. I want to know if it's okay with you first. I respect our relationship. Your relationship, our relationship here is the most important thing. And if you feel that this would not, you know, be okay, then, you know, I totally respect that.
Right. That's what my instincts are telling me is the right thing to do. I just wasn't sure if I was overthinking. So I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, Linda and Ruthie have commented here. I would, you know, three times or so that it's happened to me, my client has been very, very cool with it. In fact, they appreciated my coming to them, you know. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it built even more goodwill with them. And right. My whole plan was, if they're not cool with it, then at least we can have a conversation. Because believe me, I'm not just going to say, okay, never mind, no need to explain. No, I want to kind of know, like, the thinking, you know, behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That makes sense. No, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, that sounds great, and good for you for keeping eyes and ears open.
Well, thank you. I was speaking with somebody else today, and I just mentioned something in passing, and she said, hey, did you ever think that person you interviewed would be a prospect? And I thought, no, I didn't even think about that. So she gets the point for bringing it up.
Awesome. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And good luck. And it's, you know, it's, I know where it's happened the other way around too, right? If where the, mm-hmm. they contact you and say, well, listen, we actually need some work done.
Yeah. You
know? And they're proposing you.
Yeah, I would, that would be cool too.
Cool. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Cynthia has a question here about our blog. She says, I don't know what to do with my blog. I'm basically converting a personal website to a business website. That means I need to limit the blog topics to something more narrow and more business-like. Can I inject an occasional off-topic article, or do I need to have two blogs and two websites? How will I have an outlet to write something humorous or interesting but more personal? Yeah, let's talk about that, Cynthia. Let me bring you in. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to me.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, cool. So your blog right now is a personal blog. And you want the ability to, well, you know that you may need to start writing about more business topics that are more relevant to your target audience.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you want that creative outlet for yourself. And if you want to write about your visit to the farmer's market last weekend and the experience that you had there, you want to have that channel, right? That outlet.
Right. So can you have a blog that's, you know, 80% a narrow topic and then 20% anything else?
I mean, look, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, that's the great thing about having your own business, right? I think here's an option to consider. I don't know if this might work for you. What about turning some of those personal experiences or extracting the lesson for your target audience from that experience? So I'll give you a couple of examples. I remember a couple of when I had a blog, in my case, it was a newsletter, but it's the same thing. I'm always on the lookout for great examples of good marketing. And I remember taking my kids to an ice cream store and the experience we had there and the way this particular chain was marketing their product. and the experience they were creating. And to me, that was such a cool thing that I didn't instantly see it, but I wanted to write about it. And I wanted to write about it in a way that I could publish it to my target audience.
Okay.
So what I did is, what's the core lesson here for technology marketers? You know, and I forget what it was. And maybe it was something like, you know, I know that we're marketing to businesses, but it doesn't mean we can't make some of our messages fun. You know, okay. After all, it's human to human, not business to business. You know, so let's say it was something like that. So it allowed me to tell the story, which is really what I wanted. I just had to tell the story and still make it relevant to them. And then it satisfied my creative need.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think most of the articles that I'm thinking of could be, massaged, you know, and fall into that category. But I'm still thinking there are probably a handful that would not, where there's not really a business lesson to learn, but they may just be like a humorous essay or something. And I'm wondering, does that hurt me if the audience, I mean, the blog will have categories, right? So if you arrive at the blog and you want to read about business, it's easy to find all the business articles, right?
Yeah. I think that's fine, Cynthia. I wouldn't worry. And you know, at the end of the day too, I know many good clients, the kind of clients you're going to want, wouldn't mind learning a little bit more about you as a person, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're human beings, right? So if it's a good essay and it's funny, I mean, I don't think it would kill them to come across it, you know, if they don't want to read that kind of stuff and they want
to. There you go.
Yeah, then move on to the next article if that doesn't interest you.
Well, and the other, what makes this different from the newsletter too, is you're not pushing it out to them.
Exactly.
So this is self-serve. You know, I got vanilla chocolate chip, and then I got gorgonzola honey. And if gorgonzola honey is like, okay, that's where I draw the line, that's fine. Move on to the next one, which is chocolate. I don't know. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Totally. I would say, though, as long as it's still kind of the majority has some kind of business takeaway, takeaway that's relevant to them, that's where I would do it. Because I would hate for you to have to start a different property. You know, like a different blog.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's another option too. You know, these days it's pretty easy to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe down the line. I think I feel a bit more peaceful about this whole thing, and I'll just occasionally inject something that's a bit off topic and make a note that this is off topic. But, you know, if 80 or 90% of it is on topic, then I don't see a problem with that.
There you go. I would say go back to the reason to have a blog. And by the way, for those of you who don't have a blog, you don't necessarily need a blog, okay? So this is a specific situation where Cynthia already has one. The biggest value of having a blog, if it's right for you and if you want to have one, is prospects, when they check you out, they can skim through your content and get an idea of how you think and who you are as a person. Okay. So that's really the biggest thing. It's not SEO. It's not all these other things. Yes, traditional blogging has some of those other requirements. But for us, professional service providers, creative professionals, it's really about just building that trust and credibility.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. And hey, great conversations, by the way, here in the chat. So I just appreciate you guys helping each other out and giving each other feedback. So Linda, I hope that helps. I know some comments here on Doug's situation. All right. And again, so if it's a question, make sure to put a Q in front of it. So that way I don't miss it. And while I'm searching, I would love to know what's been most helpful so far today. So either in a conversation I had with you, maybe a conversation that that I had with somebody else. I'm just curious to know what's been most useful so far. Just type in a capital V in the chat area and let me know something that's been useful for you. Some folks love Tuna Helper. Hey, listen, I wasn't trying to knock it. I lived off that stuff for a long time. And the sodium content is a tad high, though. That's my only complaint these days. Yeah, cool stuff. Linda says, well, I just signed up for LinkedIn Premium. That answers your question. Okay. Gosh, Linda, I hope I didn't come across someone. You got to do it. I think one of the best things I can give you is a strong opinion and guidance and leadership. But of course, you have to make the decision. Okay. So hope it didn't come across that way. I know I've been on the other side and I got someone who's saying, well, it depends. You could do this or you could do that. That's not that helpful. So an opinion sometimes can, in these situations can really help, at least I feel. Erica says, valuable, confirming that I should contact client A. Also, the point system is intriguing. Oh, good. Okay. Joe says, evaluating business expenses, especially during lean times. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these tools. I get it. I mean, I call it a death by 1,000 subscriptions. You should see the number of things that we use in my business. I mean, the list is ridiculous. And believe me, we evaluate them quarterly, and we are constantly making decisions. We cut things out and we consolidate. But we got a lot of subscriptions. These tools, being SaaS, software as a service, very easy to subscribe when it's only $29 a month or $49 a month. But we're at over $1,000, well over $1,000 a month in subscriptions. It's pretty insane. So I get it. okay, good, Linda. Good to hear. Hannah says, with retainers, don't sell a discount, sell availability. Yeah, sell, think of it as the velvet rope principle, right? It's, from Michael Port, it's like, hey, you know what word I like, Hannah? Exclusivity. You will be my top client. You move to the front of the line. For the right clients, the clients that you guys want to have, and I get it, sometimes you got to have keep the lights on clients, but for the clients you want to have, that is going to be attractive to them. You have exclusivity, you have my availability, you have access to my brain. Not just the work. Okay. Cynthia says, most valuable. I feel like a part of this group, just reading about everyone else's adventures and trials and tribulations ups my game. It's easy to feel very isolated when you're a writer. Oh, so true, Cynthia. And you'll see that everyone here feels the same way. This is an amazing community of pros, not just here, but in the Facebook group as well. And you're starting to see, right? You're not alone. We all struggle with these things. Doug says, great feedback on the retainer point system. Definitely not an easy switch in my case, but stay tuned. We shall see. Yeah, Doug, and you know what? I heard you're still not 100% there. This is the kind of thing, hopefully this helped you a little bit. This is the kind of thing where you're going to have to put pen to paper and then try to retrofit the current situation, which is difficult. When you're starting from scratch, it's like, man, I'm building the building from the ground up. But when you have an existing building and you're trying to expand rooms and add things, man, you're dealing with existing constraints and problems structurally in the building. And that can be difficult. I think what will come out of this is at least you're opening up a discussion with your client about changing the way you do this. And just keep in mind, at the end of the day, you need to present it in a way that shows them what's in it for them. Because if it comes across as like, this is going to be better for me, it's just not going to work, right? So guys, I put something together here that I think is going to be great for you guys, going to be great for our relationship. And here's why. So you need to be able to present that and sell that value. And if that means that, maybe part of it is, I'm going to sell the fact that now they have more access to my brain and my expertise and some strategy. then man, go for it. I think along with that, you know, there needs to be a little bit higher compensation associated with it. So, and I know that's what you want. You don't want to retrofit something at the end of the day after all that work end up with the same amount, $38.50 a month. So, yeah, you can't do this in your head. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Again, guys, questions, if you want to talk through a challenge right now, your need feedback on something, just type in a queue, let me know that you got something in the chat area, and I can bring you in. We can have a conversation. And let me go back, make sure I didn't miss any questions while I wait to hear from you guys. Ruthie asked, would you say that we should only consider discounting points when we're earning a satisfactory rate in the first place? Just confirming. Yeah, and I wouldn't get caught up. You know, when I said that, I've seen some people, if you're doing the point system, the more you buy, the cheaper they are. You know, the danger with that is that, you know, you kind of go back to that discounting mindset. So you got to be careful with that. I would rather build a relationship based on here's the deal, take it or leave it kind of a situation. And then maybe in the future, if that relationship grows for higher and higher levels, maybe bring it down a bit if they are willing to make a much bigger commitment rather than having that conversation from day one. So, but in terms of earning a set, so I'm not sure I understand the second part. So let me bring you in, Ruthie. Hey, Ruthie, how are you?
Hi.
Hello. Cool. So tell me about the, when you're earning a satisfactory rate in the first place.
So I know a lot of us in the group, maybe the non-board members, but, you know, some of us have, you know, hit a point where we're, you know, we feel like we're professionals, you know, maybe we're doing it full time or whatever. But, you know, like for me joining, you know, becoming a client of yours was like, oh yeah, like I really can earn a lot more money and that I should be earning a lot more for my services. So since I feel like I'm getting there, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. The
oh my God, you've like done an amazing job, Ruthie. Don't be modest. Like where you've come from, I remember when we first engaged and like where you are now and like your expectations have changed completely, I feel.
Yeah, I definitely feel a lot more confident just kind of, you know, kind of being firm about what I'll accept. So that's like, I feel like that's led me to a good place. So I think for the clients that I'm speaking to now, whether they're prospects or like new clients where I've gotten them in at this like much higher rate, like the last client I signed on is like four times more than the previous client I signed on.
Wow, that's great.
Since I started. So like the difference was I started working with you. So like I basically got the courage to ask for, you know, a rate that was more worthy of my time. But if I'm thinking back to myself, like, you know, let's say on the other side of the new year, because I signed up at the very beginning of January. So let's say the last 6 months of 2018, that person, you know, like I wasn't making what I would consider a satisfactory rate. So you know, looking at, you know, maybe somebody who's still climbing, like I was just trying to confirm that, you know, like if you're still really focused on raising your rates, then maybe not offer that, you know, volume type discount, or at least don't make it incredibly significant.
So yeah.
They're already like, they probably should be paying you more in the first place. So that's kind of where my comment was coming from. I was thinking back to myself like 6 months ago and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have recommended I discount anything, you know? And so I actually typed this here, but I mean, at this point, I kind of like my clients. I feel like working with me is the deal. Like that is what they're getting out of this. They're lucky. So
sure,
I try not to offer, you know, too much of a volume discount thing generally. I mean, I imagine that if I was presented with something where the volume was just like mind blowing, then I could probably see my way to it. But yeah, so that was just kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, I think those kinds of clients, they're not going to be as price sensitive as many of the ones you've worked with in the past. And you're starting to see the difference, right?
Yes, they really aren't.
I wouldn't get caught up in the, here's what I would do before I even think about discounts. Have you gone through that training, by the way?
I haven't gone through the point one. I went through your other one on retainer agreements and actually calculating like the monthly retainer price using the worksheet you made, but not actually revealing the price of every single thing on the worksheet, which I found incredibly helpful when I was creating that possible retainer agreement. It kept me from undercharging a lot. And the client ended up not taking it, but that's okay because I'm thinking that maybe in the next 3 to 6 months, I will be letting this client go because they are far below my, you know, current seeking rate. But yeah, so I don't think I did the one with the points. I did the, I don't know if you have more than one or maybe I just missed
the standard. Yeah, it's actually a bonus lesson at the end of that one.
Oh, okay.
But you're doing the standard's going to work for most people. If you were to do this, here's what I would do before I even started thinking or offering discounts if you buy more points, especially at first. The whole idea is you want to take 8 is usually a good place, and that's kind of your anchor. So 8 points. What is kind of a common thing you do for that particular client? Let's just take in Doug's example. It was a case study.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 points. The what you do is you multiply 8 times what internal hourly rate you'd like to maintain. And let's just say it's, you know, in his case, he said 125 times 8. That's 1,000. So 8 times 125. And then, you know, when I asked him about it, he's like, well, yeah, that sounds a little low for a case study. And I agreed. Okay. So there's a couple things you could do. You could say, well, you know what? This is an opportunity because I'm hiding this rate from the client. This is not something I'm going to publish.
Right.
What if I use this as an opportunity to, you know, go to 175, 8 times 175, you know, that's 1400. You know, is that better? And let's just say, you know what? Perfect. That's it. So then you make this kind of your middle point. This is where you're going to make all your other decisions on. And so you know that case studies are going to be 8 points. What's something that's maybe a little bit more intensive, more valuable than a case study? And let's just say that it's a long article. So that's going to be 13 points. But you still have to temper it against this math to see if that works.
Right.
You know, so again, 13 hours times 175, does that work? 13 times 175, 2275. And let's just say that that works. So then, okay, so the article between X and Y word count. And then you look the other way too, and five points. What would be something that's less than a case study? And let's just say, just to keep it simple, let's just say a blog post. So 5, 175 times 5, it's 875. So, you know, let's just say it's a longer blog post. And that's 875. So you have to make sure that the math works. And all these, so my point, and here's where I'm going with this. Before you even said, well, if you buy X number of points, well, actually, I'm kind of jumping ahead. Now you have to also figure out, well, they usually assign me, you know, some of these, and some of these. So you have to make sure that all of this on a typical month, you have to run through several examples to make sure that it would work, you know, based on the budget that they have. And in some cases, you don't know what the budget is. I know you've gone through this recently. So you added it up and you said, you know, this is going to be $6,700. I'd rather you just go ahead and propose this now. And then if the relationship grows to a point where they're going to need more from you, then you can have a conversation about $6,700 a month is going to get you X number of points. You know, if we grow to 13,000 a month, then, you know, we can, that will get you X number of points after that. And at that point, they get more than twice the points, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get a discount on the points in that case. But that's only once it's moved in that direction, as opposed to having that conversation, you know, when you're proposing this.
Right, yeah. It's like when you're a wholesaler or manufacturer, like if somebody's buying and they're buying in significant amounts, then you could afford to do some sort of volume discount. But you don't do a volume discount for somebody who's buying a little bit. Because it is not
volume. Or the first time around. You know what I'd rather see you do? I'd rather see you mess with this number because that's internal and you're not showing it than to mess with this number or the number of points they get.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's, of course, that's if they're willing to reveal their budget. And I feel like a lot of times they're not. So I've just been trying to be less concerned about people's budgets, because the fact of the matter is that I want to make what I want to make, and your budget's your problem. So that's
a it's a hot potato.
Of course, you know, but it's a fact. Like, their budget is their concern. So I can tell them what I would do the work for, and I can be, you know, I can be honest. And if that's not something they can do, then I guess that's, you know, that's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I think sometimes if, you know, that I'm willing, I do like to at least put them on the spot. And here's why. I mean, okay, so, oh, I don't know what, we don't know. We're waiting on you to tell us. Well, okay. Are you thinking like 500, you know, 5,000 or 50,000? Right. Ah, well, definitely not 50,000.
Yeah, that is what they say.
And I mean, $500, I know that's not going to cut it. Okay. So we're talking more like in this area.
Okay. I like that. That's cool.
And here's why. And you guys have seen this, right? So there's these, I mean, I guess you could call them content mills, and they are set up to basically give people X number of blog posts for, and they have different packages for, like, I saw one yesterday for 431. I want to say it was 8 posts, 1,000 words. And they're doing, I listened to a podcast interview with this lady. They're doing like $50,000 to $75,000 a month in revenue. So you do the math. If they're charging, this is their cheapest. They had another level and then another level here, but none of them were over $1,200 or even $1,000. So you're competing against, you know, these places that are offering to do this ridiculous amount of content for this little. The reason I like this is I want to know, okay, I just kind of need to understand, Belinda, where you're coming from. Because if Belinda is someone who's thinking this, then we're going to be so far apart that, you know, like, what's the point, you know?
That makes sense. I will say that since adding the starting prices, so like my husband said, I added the floor prices, not the ceiling prices, but since adding the floor prices on my website, like, you know, this, you know, white paper started X and, you know, and whatever. I feel like I've gotten a lot less tire kickers because people end up looking at that page. And then the other thing I would say, because I've been answering this question a lot on LinkedIn, it feels like lately in like the last 30 days. But I would say that it's not so much competing against the content mills so much as it ends up being not, I mean, and this is something I picked up from you, but not qualifying them early enough in the process. Because when I talk to clients, like the clients I'm looking to work with wouldn't even consider working with a company that puts out content that quickly like that, because for them, they're like, yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. So I'm not competing against them because they're not in the competition, because the clients I'm looking for wouldn't even consider working with them.
There you go. And exactly.
You so again, it's positioning. Do the positioning exercise if you haven't done it yet, because once you do it, you'll realize that you're actually not really competing with a whole lot of people at all. So
yes, I'm with you 100%. This particular company, I could tell that they're basically dealing with a lot of small local companies, like the local, you know, the plumber, the contractor, the real estate agent, and. Like, they don't care. They're first of all, many of them don't understand the value of content, so they have to do a lot of education. And second, too, is that they just want content.
Yeah.
They just need fodder. And you know that that's not your people anyway. So.
Yeah. And I was talking to my husband about this too, because somebody commented on one of my LinkedIn posts and they made it sound like freelance writers were victims of capitalism and how we all need to raise our rates and like kind of do it collectively. But the thing is that plumbers and real estate agents, they need content too. Or at least they'd like to have it. But the thing is even if we all were like, yeah, we're not charging less than like a dollar a word, that's like having a lawyer. Like if you could get a lawyer for $25 an hour, then that becomes more affordable. It's like, you know, talking about the LinkedIn premium, like that's more affordable if it's a certain price. But if it goes way beyond your budget, like, I mean, attorneys are like, you know, $300, $400, $500 an hour. It's not a requirement. Like you're still not going to go have that lawyer if your budget can't handle it. You're just not going to have the lawyer. Like, so if we were all charging a dollar a word, it's not that everybody everywhere who wanted content would be willing to pay a dollar a word. They just wouldn't have it.
There you go. Well, and like you also said, and this is something important for everybody to understand, is there are different segments of the market. It's not just one market.
Yes, yes.
You know, bargain basement. Okay, that's where a lot of this happens. The next level is actually, I call it vendor, because this is not the... This is not the prospect who's looking for the lowest possible price, but they're still going to, and I hate this word, bid it out. You know, I'm going to get several bids. So it's probably going to be one of the two lowest ones out of four or five. This is really where you want to be. This is trusted advisor.
Yeah.
This is someone who cares more than just about the words and the quality of the writing. I can work with her. She's sharp. She brings me ideas. She's always on time, every time. She gets it. I don't have to handle. This is like the one person that I don't have to project manage. I just know. I give it to her and it's done, and she's going to give me great work on time. And then here, and I wouldn't worry too much about this layer, but the rock stars. The reason I say don't worry about it is because you can make a really nice living in the trusted advisor. So here's what happens here. In the bargain basement, there are a ton of, let's just say a ton of freelancers. You know what? Let me do it a little differently. So... there's prospects, but there's a ton of freelancers vying for them, right? Too many. It's disproportionate. Here, it's a little bit better. But in here, this is an inflection point. You actually have more prospects than you do have freelancers. And, of course, here is even better. I mean, you can't even see it.
Yeah.
So it's completely out of whack. The way to get to Rockstar, if that's even your ambition, is through the trusted advisor level by spending time here. So my recommendation to you guys is, look, this is where you want to be, okay? And when there's questions about, you know, massive discounts, when there's questions about, you know, they want me to jump through all these hoops, you're dealing with someone either here. I think most of you on this call, are past that. It's usually here. This is where a lot of people struggle because they're not sure. Well, I know they're not, you know, shopping it around in Upwork, but they're just, you know, they're making me jump through all these hoops and they're arguing over $100 and. That's a vendor mentality, right? So, yeah, that is the
pay my grocery bill. So
there you go. So,
over $100.
So, just I think the lesson here is keep in mind, guys, it's not just one market; it's several different markets, segments of the market, and just know that this is where you want to be. And the signs that you have a bad prospect, it's usually going to be that vendor mentality. Usually you can tell right away when it's bargain basement and you can let go of that one easily.
Yeah, I respond to the bargain basement people with my services page and then they don't talk to me anymore.
There you go. Easy. Easy. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Ruthie. Are you good? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, and some other questions. So it was good to kind of, you know, talk it out.
Okay, good. Good stuff. Man, some great conversations today. And a variety of topics, so that's good. Anybody else? Anyone who's been holding out? Questions, thoughts, feedback? Oh, one above. Okay, so yeah. I'm glad you mentioned it, Linda. I almost missed you. All right, when following up on an unanswered warm email with LinkedIn connection invite, do you mention the email or act like you never sent it? Yeah, let me bring you in. So, hey, Linda,
hi.
You're talking about you sent the warm email, and then you sent in a LinkedIn connection request?
Yeah, so you send the warm email. You don't hear back in a while. You want to follow up. And what I'm hearing on the Facebook group is that some people follow up in a different platform, for example, on LinkedIn or with a snail mail letter, which I also love. And, yeah, I was wondering, does it seem kind of stalkerish when you keep sending the same thing in different formats, or do you mention, hey, I sent you an email and I'm following up on LinkedIn or?
Yeah, I would not mention the email for a couple of reasons. And the biggest one is that you're giving them a reason to kind of disengage. Oh, no, I haven't gotten it. You know, so you're asking them to play quality control for the email delivery system. So that's one of them. They could easily kind of like turn it around and say, oh, no, sorry, I haven't gotten it. Let me see. And then suddenly, like, they disengage. The other thing is that you don't want to come across as someone who's and it's easy to do, and even though that's not your intention, someone who's, hey, what's wrong? How come you haven't responded? You know,
right.
Like, I'm important. You know, you need to – your day's not busy enough. That's why even in my follow-ups, you know, with warm emails, I never mention, hey, I sent you this email last week. You haven't responded, so I was checking back in. Or here's my favorite one. I wanted to bring this back to the top of your inbox. God, I hate it when people say that to me. So it's better if you play it cool. They're going to respect that so much when they put two and two together. Because nobody follows up that way, you know. Everyone's like, hey, you know, they're insinuating that you haven't been responsive. Or,
right.
I'm sending this again, hint, hint, even if they don't ask a direct question. You're much better off, and it's much classier, to just keep hitting them from different angles, different platforms, and have a limit, and then that's when you hit the pause button. Then you do a break, and if it makes sense, come back to them again. And this is why you can many times, and some of you on this call have seen this, you can come back to them a month or two later after that sequence with the same original warm email and get a response that time, a positive response. So you
right.
don't have to even change your script.
Interesting. So if you were to follow up, say, because I like to follow up in about 2 weeks, on a warm email, if I did want to follow up with another email, what I normally am saying is, hey, I'm following up on this email. I haven't received a reply, so I'm afraid it probably got lost in cyberspace, and then just kind of go into my spiel again, but maybe slightly different. So if you were going to follow up on a warm email with another email, would you just send the same thing again as if you had never sent it?
What you want to do is, and I'll show you an example, is you want to use the I forgot to mention approach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, hey, Bill, Linda here again. I forgot to mention in my original email, or I forgot to mention last week, you know, I've also written for XYZ company, where I've also written a lot on this adjacent topic to yours, you know, fill in the blank. In fact, here's a link to show you some of my work there. Anyway, let me know if it makes sense to connect, Linda.
Okay.
And at first, what's the reaction? You get the, okay, wait a minute, what's this about? If you get an email like that, what's your original, what would you do? Your natural reaction is to scroll down and kind of go back and read the thread so you have the context.
Yeah, of course.
They're going to put two and two together that way. So let them connect the dots, because it forces them to do the work as opposed to you telling the whole story and giving them the background and your follow-up. Because then they're just going to shut down.
Right.
But if it's kind of like a it's like they're in the middle of the story. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, I just kind of came in halfway through the movie. Let me back up.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I love that.
And you'll see some examples like in the warm email, and I was going to look up, I know I got an example of that here, but it's the same idea. In the warm email training, you'll see some examples of that. See if I just recently did a presentation on this, and yeah, I got a slide with one example, and you'll see exactly how it kind of looks.
Okay.
I think it's toward the end. Sorry. Okay, yeah, here we go. Okay. So here's the, can you see this? Yeah. It's, I know it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
The original email is below. I've been following the growth of your learning initiative. I'm very impressed. So that's a meaningful connection. I'm not sure how you're handling the writing of your marketing content, but I'd love to know what it would take to be considered. So didn't respond to that. A couple weeks later, hi, Belinda, I forgot to mention something in my previous email. In my last teaching position, I helped lead an online education initiative, blah, 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 blah. We use feedback loop approach and mirror as much of what you're doing. Anyway, please let me know if you'd like to connect in the next week or two.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. It's much more powerful.
Right. Okay.
And they're going to appreciate the fact that you didn't tell them that you're, you know, pinging them again and bringing this to the top of their inbox.
Okay. So I shouldn't do with the emails I've been getting where they say, I notice you've opened our email, but haven't responded.
Oh my gosh, please do not do that.
Are you sure? All right, fine.
I will drive to Raleigh and hunt you down.
Oh God, that's the creepiest.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. That is actually very helpful because I've been doing the other way.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, never too late to change it. There you go.
Oh yeah.
All right. So guys, let's do a quick wrap up here. And I know many of you had to leave, and that's totally cool. Give me a top takeaway, something that was valuable today. Let me know by typing in a T, capital T for takeaway. And then I want to make sure you leave with at least one action item. So give me something that you're going to work on, whether it's a 10-minute task or a 10-hour task, doesn't really matter. Give me something that you know you're going to be working on, and you want to go ahead and write it down now before you forget, and you want to be held accountable, if that helps. So top takeaway, top action item, T and A. Yeah, Ruthie says she finds the follow-up so creepy when they do the I noticed this and that and the other. Yeah, I know. It's like, whoop, delete. Linda, top takeaway, sign up for LinkedIn pre. All right, you got me. Ruthie, top takeaway, be careful what you cut during lean times. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Okay, yeah. Linda, action item, we'll be following up on 2-week-old warm emails with you. Oh, I forgot to tell you email. Yeah, there you go. Love it. So much of this game is about being different. You know, it's be different in a professional way, and you really stand out. I just I see this all the time. I get emails from coaching clients from who was it that posted the other day? I think in the Facebook group and this happens all the time. It's like, hey, I never respond to these emails, but there was something about your email that was different, and I felt compelled to respond. When you do this for a while, you get better at it, you'll see that is going to be a common response. I never respond to these. I get a bunch of these, but yours is so different. Again, standing out. Erica, action item, write outline for new web content and have good brainstorming content. Okay, good stuff. And I look forward to seeing the finished product, Erica. Just remember, listen, 80%, 90% is good enough. Shoot to get to 80%, in fact. Once you put it out there, over the next month or two, you'll be able to get it to 100%. But trying to get it to 100% kind of behind the scenes, very, very difficult. Hannah, top takeaway, the retainer thing I mentioned earlier, an action item, start price racing module. Yeah, perfect. I think you're going to like that one. Joe says the trusted advisor level is where I want to be. Absolutely, man. And you can absolutely get there. In fact, I'm sure you're kind of half and half right now. So it's like, let's get you 100% there. Ruthie, action item, getting my blog post out this week. It's a good one. One of the best ones I've written for myself. Okay, so now I'm curious. if it's a public-facing one, I'd love to read it, Ruthie, when it's ready. Joe, action item prospect with some of the email techniques I picked up in the training sessions. Fantastic. Erica, shooting for 80%. Perfect. There you go. Something magical about shooting for the 80%. Getting to 80%, that's where most of the value is. To go from 80 to 100 is so much effort. Creative and just energy, and just it's very, very difficult. So get it to 80%. The other 20% will take care of itself in the next few weeks. All right, guys. Hey, great session today. Thanks for playing along and asking great questions. And I'm just joking. I know you get a lot out of this, and it's great to have you here. We just feel very privileged to work with each and every one of you. Love seeing the growth. And to me, growth is all about the effort and the consistency, not necessarily the results, because when you focus on the effort and the consistency, the results come. So you guys have a great rest of the day, and we'll continue this conversation in the Facebook group. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Take care.